If you go to the third slide there, you know, I talked you through the budget timeline already. If you go to the third slide there, and you'll see that there's a review of non-instructional areas. That was the presentation that Mr. O'Keefe gave at our last meeting. And that was, as I mentioned, the general support, transition, employee benefits, debt service, and interfund transfers. And that was about that was a presentation of about $145 million of the budget. So it's roughly just under 50% of our operating budget. And so this evening, we're going to take you through another chunk of that.
Okay. Sorry about the technical difficulties. On slide four are the 12 areas we're going to cover this evening. Basically, the areas that Dr. Graham had just gone over, athletics, special education, co-curricular activities, things of that nature. As we move on to slide five, just some pictures of our children involved in all the different sports that Sachem offers. I was able to actually grab a shot that was just placed up from the young ladies that were down in Florida. I believe that you can't really see it in black and white, but the top third photo is the young ladies at the competition from North. So the first slide, number six, which is athletics, physical education, and health services. Again, we're just looking at the functional groups of the lines. There's a lot of material and information behind them, so you're only really seeing a snapshot, but the collective group of each department, what it costs from year to year in actual dollars, the current year's budget, and next year's projected budget. So athletics is broken into two categories. The first category is that 2035 that you're seeing. That's the administrative component. That's merely the directors, the athletic trainers, the clerical support, and then the supplies and materials to run that office. So just a modest decrease, basically just due to a change in staffing. Your 2135, that's not your phys ed teachers, of course. It's just the supplies and materials in the buildings for physical education classes, just a modest increase in the request from the athletic director, which is actually just based on a dollar per child, and then some reconditioning costs. 2815 is health services. This is all of nursing, whether it be building nurses or the nurses that care for special education children or nurses that are provided to children that attend private and parochial schools in other school districts. So if we have a child attending a private school in Smithtown, Smithtown provides the nursing services to that child. Smithtown then bills us back. So within that $2.2 million, that's where we're paying those expenses. So there's a modest change. The decrease is actually due to the closing of the buildings and the reorganization. There's no change in what we currently provide. And the final category in this area is all of athletics. $2.6 million. Again, just a modest change from the current year. No real change in the program other than the addition of the swimming team that we discussed a few meetings ago, as well as any contractual increases. Did a lot of work with Mr. Butel, Mr. Caridi, going through the athletic budget, built it line by line. I can break it down for the board. You don't have that information in front of you. You do have it in some detail in your budget notes, but we can actually drill into it by sport, coach by coach, dollar for every single sport through every single season, so we can actually see where the money's going. So before we go to the next slide, where I do give you a little bit more detail, were there any questions on these four areas? Sure.
John, as far as the money that we saved in athletics when we closed the middle school, so because we don't have those teams anymore and everything else was combined, was there any savings there as far as?
Well, you also have to recall during the settlement of the teachers' contract, there were some changes to coaching stipends that did absorb quite a bit of that. Quite frankly, no, there's not a lot of savings. You know, the amount of money that you're seeing here for next year is what I truly project based on all of the sports, all of the necessary officials, whatever else is needed, as well as building in reasonable contingencies for extra season if they would go to playoffs, things of that nature.
So if we just look at the line, the 2855, this year in 16-17 was when the building had closed, because really it doesn't, I'm sorry, up here, the athletic as far as the elementary school level, really we're looking at the secondary level as most
This is just middle school and high school sports primarily.
So this year, even though we closed some buildings, well, really just the middle school.
Just the middle school,
we
yeah.
still went up about 300,000, right? From
yeah,
15.
I didn't do any research on your 15, 16 to 16, 17, so I'm not sure if there was any team changes between those 2 years.
Well, because we had some team consolidations, and then we also had the middle school team in Sequoia that's no longer.
Mm-hmm. That would be in 16, 17.
Correct.
Right.
But the budget still went up in 16, 17. Mm-hmm. And then as far as the actuals, do you know where you are approximately with the actual
at this point, it's actually kind of hard to judge that particular line because most of that line is coaching salaries, which do not get encumbered.
Okay.
So, I mean, I could go back to all the board appointments, add up all the appointed coaches, but they don't obviously get paid until they perform for the full season.
I'm just curious because this is the first year that we've done the budget with closing three buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So just curious to see where we actually saved money in closing the buildings. I know as far as the mm-hmm. personnel and the staffing, but also I think we had a number at some point. Wasn't it like around 160,000 that we were told?
There was a number earlier
there,
in the year that was floated around about 140 or so, which is
right.
part of which we tried to utilize to pay for the security guards at the high schools.
So was that a realistic number, the 140, 160?
No, because you also had a $70,000 increase as part of the settlement to add back to coaching salaries.
Okay. All right, thank you.
No problem.
John?
Yeah.
A couple of things. In the 2855, within that number,
mm-hmm.
Were there any increases as far as officials? For the Section 11?
What the percentage increase was?
Well, yeah, was there an increase, and is that figured into this?
Do you recall what the... Yeah.
It's
about $14,000.
That's an increase. Okay.
Yeah.
Are buses and chaperones and security for those events figured into this number also?
The chaperones would be in this expense. The
right.
buses would be in transportation,
right.
and security would be in security.
Okay. Thank you.
Now the next slide just gives you just a quick synopsis of, you know, what Sachem Sports looks like. So I just tried to fit as much information onto one slide as I could. So sorry it's a little crowded, but it is rather informative. It shows what sports are offered in what seasons by the varsity, junior varsity, and middle school levels, just to give you a feel for what it looks like throughout the year. I mean, there are 136 teams that we field, which is 222 coaches, and over 4,400 roster positions. And then to further break it down, just to give the community and the board a quick snapshot of what athletics costs by varsity per season, over on the far right side, we have the fall season, the winter season, and the spring season broken out. So you have the $800,000 for a fall season, the $600,000 and change for winter, and so on. So it just gives you a little insight, you know, to where are the coaching salaries going to and what sports. And if the board wishes, I can share with you the spreadsheet that Mr. Butel and his office put together that actually breaks it down specifically by the appointed coaching positions, by the team, by the season. So I can drill into the detail right down to the dollar. Question?
So, John, when you, the athletic director gives you what he feels he's going to need for the next year based on how he came in the year prior,
mm-hmm.
right? So are we still doing, I know in the past we were doing rotations as far as uniforms, that some of the teams were not getting new uniforms each year or every couple of years. Are we still doing that, or has that changed? Do you know what the process is?
I'd really
is
have to defer to Mr. Butel of what the cycle is on rotation of uniforms. We just went over what his projected needs were, and I compared those needs based on actual expenditures in prior years when we built the budget lines, you know, to see if they were reasonable and in line. So I don't know whether Mr. Butel could speak to that or not.
Over the years, obviously, to some of the situations we had financially, uniform rotation that kind of subsided. We have been trying to pick up the rotation of uniforms again, especially with those teams, just because they're worn or they're missing, or some teams have just been short over the years. So we are trying to pick that back up again. Some of the teams have been about 7 or 8 years since they have had uniforms. So we are quickly trying to do as much as we can to start to replenish some of those uniforms. And asking the coaches to come in and work with us in getting new uniforms for those teams.
Yes.
Within this budget, is it also, I know a lot of our cardio equipment, I believe at Sachem East, has not been working or needs to be refurbished, and some also in the weight room at North or different things. Is that accounted for in here, or is that something that's not being addressed yet?
Well, whatever was within the budget presented by athletics in your budget notes, which you may not have handy, it should detail in the contractual lines how much is set aside for, you know, equipment repairs.
Right, but I know it's been set aside, but we've been having trouble getting the equipment repaired, so I don't know if there's that was taken into account.
That hadn't been discussed with me at this time.
Okay.
Okay, John.
Sure. Okay, and it's a shame that, unfortunately, we don't have the picture, because we've had some really great shots from our special education program provided by Ms. Tuttle and her team. Most of them are actually from our most recent summer program, so they're actually some nice shots. Again, we're just going through five basic lines, and again, there's literally dozens and dozens of account lines that make up these functional codes, but just to give you a flavor, and this is one of the slides where, I mean, obviously, if you're looking along, you're seeing that 16-17 looks like the budget is decreasing. That's a little deceptive. The way the budget was prepared in the past was a different methodology. All of the staff of Sachem would have been built into the A fund budget, even if those folks worked out of a grant. And at the end, if you might recall, the bottom of the budget for the last several years, you had these 999 codes, which had big negative numbers, negative $6 million, negative $5 million, so that the folks would be placed into the budget, and at the bottom, they'd be removed from the budget. So when you're looking at the budget built the way I'm building it this year, which is only budgeting for the folks that are actually in the A fund budget, it might look in some spots where there's a big decrease. Sometimes there are decreases, but in this area, there is not an actual decrease in expenditures. We're just allocating the expenses that we intend to spend in those budget lines. So the 2250 is the primary line for special education or Office of Student Services. As you can see, the budget's about $42.9 million. And on the next slide is where I just give you a little breakdown of how that comes together. Again, 2251 is for the CSE expenses, 2820, psychologist expenses, 2825, social workers. And then last time we also touched on transfers to different funds. That one was a transfer to capital fund. This one is called a transfer to special aid fund. So your summer special education program that's approved by the state of New York is not completely funded by the district. So the budget is built, and again, this will be detailed slightly on the next slide to give you an idea of what it looks like. But we spend about $3.4 million on summer special ed. State of New York says you're running that program, it's not part of your normal 10-month program, we will pay 80% of it. The district needs to put up 20%. So that $687,000 you see is the 20% of that program. In the past, the district has always budgeted $500,000 and always expensed $500,000 and has always been short in that line. I'm just aligning that budget line to actual expenditures so there's not a shortfall and a due-to there. So are there any questions in this area of the budget? Yes.
I just want to go back to line 2250. I want to make sure I was understanding you correctly.
Mm-hmm.
2250, 2017-18, looks like a decrease in the budget there.
Right, about $1.7 million, I believe.
Did I understand you correctly that that decrease is there because there are some people, staff, that are being paid out of grants, and therefore...
Correct.
It's that's where that missing money is.
It's not that it's missing. You know, whatever that X number of staff members would have been brought in the 16-17 budget, let's say it's 60 people, but in fact you were only doing 50 people out of the actual budget. We were subtracting them after the fact.
Right.
You know, earlier in the school year, there were a lot of budget transfers going on. You know, millions of dollars were the budget transfers. This is part of the reason why you have those transfers.
So with those people factored back in, the ones who are being paid from a different place, is our number going to be above the $44 million and $44.7 million from the previous year?
Yeah, it would be an increase.
All right.
Even keeping the staff flat, because obviously there were contractual increases.
This is just
a pure rollover budget. You have in the details the contractual expenses. You'll see that possibly, you know, one tuition group will go up, another one will go down. Certain children will go from public placements to BOCES placements, vice versa. There's no other dramatic changes within the budget. The only change you're seeing here on paper is the fact that now we're actually budgeting for the folks that we plan on paying out of the 2250 code in the 17-18 year.
If they had been in here, do you have a sense off the top of your head what the number would have looked like if we'd done it the old way?
Well, they're broken out a bunch across a number of lines. It's a little over $2 million, I believe. Yeah, a little over $2 million worth of 611 salaries that we actually back out.
So with regard to the psychologist and social workers, where that decreases?
That's the same.
It's the same reason.
They're paid out of the grant.
So it's not because we're decreasing
staff.
No
change in FTEs, right.
Thank you.
Yes.
John, in the 9901, the transfer?
Yes.
So what you're saying is that the 687 that you have proposed for next year, you're putting that in there because that's what you spent prior.
That's what we anticipate spending. Correct.
So you're anticipating spending that. So is it more than it was in the previous years, or you said that it wasn't allocated properly?
We haven't been budgeting enough.
But when I look at the actual says 500,000.
Right. They only expensed what they budgeted. And then there's a due to that's owed to general fund from federal funds.
So
that
in
is
that
just a growing liability.
But shouldn't the actual, I guess what you're showing is the actual out of that budget line.
Right.
Not
that's the way it was
the
recorded by the auditors at the end of the year. It was recorded only as the flat 500 because that's all they moved.
So in reality, there should have actually been a negative number there.
Correct.
To show that.
Correct.
But what they did was they used the amount in that budget line and then took another amount from somewhere else to pay the difference.
Correct.
So did they transfer that amount, say the 187?
Whatever the number was.
Did they transfer that to that line, though?
It probably actually got washed against fund balance. I'd have to look at the accounting entry, but without showing it being moved from somewhere else, which is what it doesn't look like they did, I would assume that they just negated the negative against closing fund balance.
Because if they had transferred it to that line,
right, it would
then
be
it
here.
Would show the actual number.
Yeah, monies weren't moved here to satisfy the expense.
Okay, but you know from looking through everything at this point, then you're anticipating. So your actual now is probably around 600,000.
Probably. I mean, on the next slide, you'll see just a tiny calculation. I can give you, Ms. Tuttle's office put together actually a very detailed calculation to come up with the summer program, and then it's just simple math. The district pays 20%, the state pays 80%. And that includes, you know, the entire program, whether it's in district, out of district, and the transportation to run it.
Because if somebody's looking at these numbers, they're not realistic numbers because it's not showing what we
Correct.
Actually spent and what the actual cost was going up each year.
Necessarily I'd have to go back and audit prior years to find out what the actual expenditures were.
Okay.
And then back into what the number should have been.
Right.
But this is just the way it was recorded.
Shouldn't the auditors have picked up on that though?
I don't know why it was recorded this way. Yeah, I couldn't answer that.
I mean, that sounds like it would be a red flag.
Yeah, I mean, it does stand out when you see 500 every year exactly to the penny, because that's
that's
all they did. Okay.
John, just give me, sorry.
Yep.
It rang a bell when you said that, and I'm trying to understand how can you establish what the previous numbers are. You have to look through the whole budget. First of all, you're looking at 500,000.
We're just talking about the summer program?
Well, I mean, are we talking about more than one line? With
many
this type
lines.
Of
yeah.
Many lines.
Yeah, it's many lines.
So how do you, as the businessman, look at these and say, this is not what we spent last year?
Well, I didn't go back and audit prior years. I'm just looking forward, knowing what we're running this year and what it looks like we're going to run next year based on.
I'm not blaming you or anyone.
No, no. Yeah.
I'm trying to understand how anyone can look at a program and say, oh, 500,000, then we could just move 500,000 over. That's not true. If
Correct.
Money is taken from other places and not shown it's being used for 9901,
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult to establish a budget. I mean, maybe that's the problem with us over the years.
I mean, that's why I always build my budgets off of actuals.
So
that's why I show the columns actuals only.
I understand. I think sometimes this is a problem with these rollover budgets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you tend to just take the number from this year, move it forward.
And maybe increase it or keep it the same.
Okay. I won't dwindle on that, but that's a red flag for me.
think we're going to, is that on?
Yeah.
Yes. I think we're going to have some of these growing pains, especially in this first year with John and myself here, is that we are doing some things a little differently than everyone is used to. And so, you know, it's going to be very difficult in a lot of instances to compare lines to lines because it's not apples to apples in a lot of the cases. So mm-hmm. we'll continue to do our best to explain that to the board, to the community as we go along.
Just to understand, you know,
sure.
John, anything where the frustration you may see it or hear it, mm-hmm. it's not pointed at you in any way.
No,
it's
I
understand. Something we've been, particularly me, have been around these budgets for years. So the numbers I was looking at were not actually the numbers that we spent, which is
well in this particular line.
Well,
and obviously in other budgets, the way they were prepared, you knew you had that large negative at the bottom, but you didn't know with any
where it was
where it was really tied to.
Okay.
I won't dwell. There's no negative at the bottom of this budget.
I understand.
This budget's going to add up to whatever the budget is.
You got it.
Question. John, when I look at, you're taking the 17-18 actuals from the 16-17s, you're at a negative $2.5 million, a little bit more than $2.5 million is what you're budgeting for 17-18. All right, so we look at the decrease from $44 million
yep.
to 40, you're at $2.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basing that on actuals of what we spent the previous year. Now, in special ed, we know that number could fluctuate. Mm-hmm. What happens if we exceed what you're budgeting for? And I don't have the total.
I mean, on the people side, we're only budgeting for the actual staff we currently have.
Okay.
We haven't gotten into staffing yet. We haven't worked on FTEs.
Services.
This is just taking all the folks that we know work here today, okay. moving them forward. Now, on all the other lines, whether they be for tuition, contractual mm-hmm. services, things of that nature. Mr. Sachs, Ms. Tuttle, her office, myself, we all sat together countless times, going line by line, digging into what we had spent and what we anticipate spending, taking rosters of children that are in all the different placements, which children will be grading out, which kids will be moving on, and then doing a projection forward, and then in most cases leaving contingency monies available if a new child moves into the district or a child that's in district goes to a private placement, et cetera.
So how do you determine contingency monies as far as, you know, going from one year to the next year? I mean, I would imagine it's a lot of estimation.
Certain placements, it's just a lot of, you know, the expertise of the director of special ed. Mm-hmm. You know, how many children on a given year, you know, show up on your doorstep? Is one a good number? Is two a good number? Do we need three? Like when we went over the transportation budget. You know, I put in two extra special education buses into that section of the budget. Based on the director of transportation, he felt that that was a good cushion for him. So we did the same thing with the special ed office. We worked with them. Then we also assumed a certain percentage increase in the tuition and gave them a reasonable cushion. If we go to the detail in the notes for all those lines, you'll see a lot of notes that break down. And I can even give you the backup behind those notes that shows how we came to the actual number.
You know, one of the things that Mr. O'Keefe has done is he sat with the special education staff and went through and they made their projections. They know every single student in our district within their programs. So when they're projecting out, they're doing their best to project out and also look at historical trends of how many students do we have entering mid-year or students who are reclassified based on a parent request. So I think that's how, when you asked Rob, how do you build a contingency, mm-hmm. I think it's looking at the historical data. And that's something that John met with the staff and really went through school by school, student by student.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and then just slide 10 just tries to give you, you know, just a quick snapshot without showing you all the lines. So when we look at the 2250 budget, we say, you know, there's nearly $43 million worth of expenditures there. Well, what's the bulk of that $43 million? And these five little bullets put that together for you. So the first line is all the salary lines within 2250. So all the teachers, the aides, the TAs, et cetera, that support the special education program, you have over $29 million in salaries. It's over 20% of the entire district staff work in the special ed department. And then the next three lines are just your placements that are outside of the district. So all your salary lines are obviously all your in-district placements. The next three lines, your 47-10, 20, and the 49-60 are your public school placements. You know, if we have a child that is better served in Three Village, we pay Three Village a tuition. Private placements, whether it's DDI or any of the other private placements, we send the child there, we pay the tuition. And then there's also BOCES placements. So we place a child in a BOCES program, we pay BOCES the tuition. And then the final line is the BOCES occupational education program, specifically just for special education students. There's a separate line which we'll explore in the next presentation for the gen ed students. So that this right here alone is $42.4 million. So this is the bulk of all of the monies spent in special education. The balance, you know, with the supplies, the materials, the textbooks, contractual expenses for OT, PT, things of that nature will we contract out. So you can see that the bulk of the budget is just in these five lines. And the next section is that transfer to special aid, just to show you how the math works. So when we met with special ed, based on everything that we know right now, we anticipate the summer program to cost us $3.37 million in rough numbers for in-district programs, out-of-district programs, and the transportation to provide the students. The district is responsible for 20% of that. So that's the $674,000. The balance we bill back to the state, and the state pays us the 80%. The 4201 tuition, if we have a child that's in a school for the deaf, like Cleary School for the Deaf, or Milneck Manor, or in Viscardi School, or any of the other 4201 schools in the state, the district is responsible for what's known as the basic contribution. So Cleary School, for example, their tuition's $100,000 a year. The district doesn't pay the $100,000. Up until 2 or 4 years ago, the state used to pay them directly. The laws, you may have recalled, changed a few years back. Now the district is responsible for the $12,000. We pay the money up front, the state reimburses us on the back end. So all we need to budget for is the $12,443. So we'll pay Cleary $100,000, the state will reimburse us everything less than $12,000. Any questions on that?
Just a quick one. I just have a question about the process on the summer special ed. So it costs $3.3. But we only pay 20% of that, right?
Correct.
So is that the same process that we lay out the money?
Correct.
And then the state reimburses us?
Yes.
So it, how long does it
whether
take
it's grants or anything, we're always laying the money out.
Okay.
The only money that ever comes from the state is state aid for general fund expenditures.
Right. But how long does it take them to reimburse us for, say, the summer program?
Wouldn't be until we file our financial statements. You know, they get stacked during the year. You'll get some of the monies as you go, but it doesn't reconcile until you file your ST3.
So what you do when you do the budget then is that you budget the $3.3 million in that line because you have to pay it. So you have to have the 3.3
in the special aid fund, yes.
Right. So you have to have that money to pay for the program, and then whether it's 6 months, 2 months, a year later, you'll get reimbursed.
Right. I mean, that's part of like the cash flow projections that you do in the beginning of the year where we have to borrow money through a TAN.
Right.
You know, we know that starting July 1st, school's open, we've got no money coming in.
Right.
We look at what we have on hand. We look at what our expenditures will be for the next few months. Where is the point at which the district then runs out of money technically? Mm-hmm. We borrow enough money to cover us during that period while we wait for property taxes and state aid and everything else. So that's why we borrowed the $68 million at the beginning of the year, which gets paid back at the end of the year.
So when you budget, though, and you have that $3.3 million in there, do you, when you get reimbursed from the state, that obviously goes into another category or another fund?
Yeah, I mean, you're budgeting knowing what the liability is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're holding a placeholder for the liability.
But you have to have that money each year to be able to do the summer program or any other program.
Any program, just like with 611 expenses. So we run the 611 program. We're paying out salaries to folks that are getting paid from that grant. And then periodically, we send in claim reports, and the state reimburses us for the 611.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's they always owe us money.
John, the budget line 4994, which is the special education BOCES OCED.
Yes.
What is your reimbursement rate from the state on that?
There's no reimbursement on OCED or on BOCES tuition.
Doesn't the state usually give back a certain percentage? Okay.
I could double check it, but I know on tuition, absolutely not. OCED.
I thought it was like 38%, and that number's come down.
I can double check that for you. I know on special ed tuition is 0% reimbursement.
I'm talking about the OCED side.
Yeah, I can double check that and let you know on that.
Now, the question I have is that the tuition rate for a special education student that enters an occupational education program, is it different than a student that is non-special ed?
Yes.
And I know in our particular school it's several thousand dollars more. What are our special education students getting, okay, when they enter BOCES special ed versus what our regular, you know,
how does the program vary?
Yeah, in other words, when a student comes in and has an IEP, are they receiving special services at the BOCES OCED Center?
Yeah, that I'd really have to defer to the director of special ed. I'm not really up on what sort of services.
I know it's been an issue with a lot of the component school districts in you know, where I'm at, mm-hmm. in West Suffolk BOCES, is that why is a special ed needs student tuition $18,000 versus
and the other one's $12,000 or $14,000.
What right. additional services? I mean, can you look into that to find out, you know, yeah. what the difference is in tuition rate and what additional services our kids are getting?
Sure.
Would
you be able to speak to what the difference is in services between a gen ed student in a BOCES program versus a special ed?
So when you say small class environment, so not to cut you off, is it based upon an IEP or is it based upon the number that they determine is a small class environment?
It's based on the IEP.
It is?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Rob, when you look at the BOCES kind of menu of occupational ed offerings, there's generally an offering for the gen ed student and then a very similar offering for special education students. And so that similar offering then would adhere to the student's IEP, as Ms. Tuttle was saying. But that'll be different for, there are, you know, dozens to almost 100 different programs, but the special education OCED program is adhering to the IEP.
Yeah, at least in Suffolk BOCES, that's definite.
Yeah, and we can get you more information on some of the offerings that we have, and then perhaps a blurb or something on what the difference between the gen ed and special education one would be.
So, okay. Yeah, I'm just curious as to what the difference is, you know.
Sure.
I mean, if you have a student, it's an 811 student that wants to go into an automotive program, right. that maybe is a special needs program, you know, do they keep it to an 811 program?
Right.
I mean, can they afford to run many auto programs that are 811, or is it that they put them in a small class setting where that student in their IEP might be an 811, but they have small class setting of 14
oh, I
or
see.
15.
So in other words, do they have 8 students in the class?
Exactly.
Some of them happen to be 811 students, and the remaining of the 8 are gen ed to just fill up the section, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Right.
It's only for special education students.
It is.
Okay. That's what you were asking, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And the final section of the 3 lines included in federal programs, AIS, ENL, and co-curricular. So the portion of the federal programs budget that we're looking at is really just the running of the grants office. This isn't the budget for the grants themselves. You know, there's several million dollars. This is just the administrator, the clerical support staff, and the operations to run the grants office. 2270 is for academic intervention services and the ENL program and all of our staff involved in that program. And the final piece is the co-curricular activities, which would be the student clubs. And you would see what would appear to be a very large difference from 16-17 to 17-18. But if you look back to 15-16, you will see that we actually spent about $400,000. And from what I understood when I came aboard, the decision was made that whatever club ran in 15-16 would run again, or the same number of clubs or offerings would run. So based on everything that I saw, there was insufficient funds in this year's budget to run the offerings. So we actually did some budget transfers earlier in the year. We also had issues where the treasurers, which are required at each building, were not funded at the elementary level, so we had to provide funding for that. So really, the 16-17 budget, I can't speak to where that $318,000 number came from, but it was insufficient to run the program. You know, this year we'll probably spend somewhere in the $410,000 or $415,000 range in rough numbers. So the 427 is just a roll-up of that, and obviously also includes the $7,500 stipend for fifth grade graduation that was part of the settlement.
Yep, Mr. O'Keefe, if I could just add on to that also. It's a little confusing with the structure of our clubs that we can't just say we're running X number of clubs. We have different level clubs based on the frequency of meeting, based on the number of students. And so it's not that we're allocating 50 clubs per school. It's an overall allocation of money. And then based on student interest and the supervisors, then the clubs are apportioned out from that way. So you may have a situation where East has 32 clubs, and in the same year, North may have 28 because of the level between the two schools was different in terms of what that club was. You know, overall, with regard to that co-curricular activity, although it looks like a large jump, as Mr. O'Keefe was just mentioning, we're not increasing the club funding at the schools. Those are going to remain flat. The additional expenditures are, as mentioned before, in the SCTA memorandum of agreement that was settled last year, there was a graduation stipend, and the stipends for supervisors for graduation are paid out of that expense. So there's elementary graduation stipends within there, and then the treasurers. Just to speak briefly to the co-curriculars and the clubs also is, in our district we have, you know, Mr. O'Keefe mentioned before with the athletics, we had 4,400 roster spots. Some of those may be filled by the same student doing three sports. For our clubs and co-curriculars, we have roughly 8,000 students in our district involved. Again, that could be me, Ken Graham, being in National Honor Society and robotics and counting twice. So it could be the same student. We hope at some point we'll get to the level where we can report out the number of students at each building. It's just not how we've recorded that information yet. And so that's the direction we'd like to move.
And I don't know if one of the other commitments that, at least as far as Dr. Graham and I understood, was there was a commitment made with the closing of the buildings that the funding would be rolled up so that the total funding for elementary schools, the total funding for middle schools would follow those students. The funding for 17-18 actually exceeds what that funding was before the buildings were closed. So slide 13, just sort of synopsis of what we just discussed, but it gives you a dollar amount, so at least you know what we're talking about. High School East, High School North, right now we've budgeted at $133,000 each. So that covers nearly 30 clubs in each school. As we said, there's down at the bottom, you'll see a little asterisks. There's double A clubs, there's A clubs, there's B clubs. Each one has a different number of meeting times, meeting hours, and therefore the stipend varies. So if you have more B clubs than A clubs, obviously you can run more clubs because the price is set by how often they meet. So in that 16-17, we have nearly 30 clubs right now. The funding at all levels includes a treasurer, which is required. Seneca, Sagamore, and Samoset have $35,600 each. Each of those buildings has in excess of 12 clubs running right now this year. And at the 10 elementary schools, we went with the model of 1A club, 1B club, as well as the treasurer and the chaperones. And some of the buildings, even this year, run 2B clubs. It really depends on, you know, what the students are interested in, the principal's decision. So that really covers that. I know that's something different than you're used to seeing. Is there any questions on clubs? Yes.
So, John, when you went over the difference between the 15-16 actual to the 16-17, the 16-17 is what was budgeted.
The 318 is what was budgeted for this current year, yes.
The 318, correct.
Correct.
And probably because even though the actual was 397, I'm assuming that it was budgeted at 318 because we were closing three buildings. Could that have taken into account why the number went down?
I don't know where the 318 number came from. There's nothing, you know, in the budget notes from last year to support where the number comes from, so I can't speak to it. I know that based on the offerings, as soon as we started building the rosters for this year, we quickly realized we had insufficient monies.
But if we're looking at each middle school at 35,000,
Right, but from what I understood, there was going to be no reduction in the amount of money apportioned for clubs, that whatever monies were apportioned for middle school clubs would follow middle schools. So if each building, say, had $25,000,
but you wouldn't have the same amount of advisors, though.
What do you mean?
Because if you're...
It would give them more offerings because now you have more students per building.
So what you're saying is we kept the money the same as far as the club. So we closed three buildings. We kept the same amount to give to them for the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't go down in advisors, even though we closed two elementary and a middle school.
Well, you would have went down two treasurers, and you would have went down, obviously, at the elementary level, the clubs in those buildings.
Right.
Right. In past years, at least for the last year or two, it does not look like we budgeted for treasurers at the elementary level. And this is also then the first year for the chaperones at the elementary level.
So all that being said, you're budgeting more than we... Let me just go back.
I mean, the
you're
427
right
is in line with the 400 you spent last year.
Okay. So even though we closed three schools... We still use the same amount, but now what we're doing is we're taking the treasures that were in each elementary school, which there used to be 12, now there's 10,
mm-hmm.
and we used to use the co-curricular money to pay the treasures at each building, correct?
We used to use ECAF money.
The ECAF money.
The children were fundraising to pay
correct,
for the treasures.
Correct, the extracurricular activity fund, correct.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not doing that anymore. We're paying out of a different area. Is that correct?
Well, the co-curricular money, the ECAF money is not our money. That's the pupil's money. We're paying from general fund dollars.
Right. So I guess that's why I'm asking. Why is it at $54.70 for each elementary school?
It's 1A club plus 1B club plus the $750 for the chaperones plus the treasurer.
Okay.
It equals $54.70.
Okay. I'll talk to you later about any other questions I have.
Sure. Any other questions?
John, just for clarification, in years past, our treasures were paid out of what was budgeted for club money. So if we budgeted, let's say, $4,000 for clubs at an elementary school, $2,400 was the stipend that was given to the treasurer. It came out of that money. If we budgeted $33,000. So in essence, there was only $600 for clubs. Now, you're saying that this year... when we had a discussion, it was supposed to be that stipend money was not going to come out of club money, which affected kids. It was going to come out of the salary line. It didn't come out of the salary line.
From what I can see, the elementary pupils were funding their treasurer.
So fundraising was being done, and that money was being donated
back to
the school
for
a stipend.
Correct.
Yeah, this co-curricular line, that contains... the treasurer for each of those buildings out of the allocation for the treasurer in that building. And that's a departure from the past, at least what we can tell is 2 years.
Okay. And that really, wrapped up this evening's presentation. The presentation when we meet next, which I believe is March 8th, will be curriculum instruction in the entire general education program. Along with library, childcare, summer enrichment, occupational education, things of that nature, guidance. And then we'll still have two meetings beyond that to, continue to fine-tune the budget. And as a reminder, the budget vote is Tuesday, May 16th. Are there any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.